start the session. And I'll just remind speakers that at 8, you'll have a 10-minute speaking time frame. At 8 minutes, I'll just stand up, and the beeper will go off at 10 minutes. And then you'll actually have 2 minutes remaining before the next beeper goes off, and that's for question period. And you can sometimes you can talk into that 2-minute period, but shortly before 12 minutes, I'll approach the stage. So to start off our session after the break, I'd like to introduce Roxanne Bowling from Texas AgriLife Extension Service. And the title of Roxanne's talk today is IPM Program, Insect Monitoring Program in the Northwest Texas Panhandle.
Thank you. The area that I'm going to be talking about is outlined in purple. It's the northwest part of the Texas Panhandle. Basically, I am part of the Texas IPM program, and our mission is to deliver unbiased, credible, reliable, and timely solutions to pest problems to our agricultural and urban customers. And we do this by operating in a partnership with several different organizations, as you can see from the list. Just to give you a background on the extension IPM positions in Texas, there are approximately 26 of us, and we have about 4 urban IPM people that specialize basically in the urban situations, and we have a pecan IPM agent. And you can see that we're pretty much scattered across the state. Just to toot our horn a little bit, the Texas IPM program in 2008 was named the Outstanding State IPM Program by the Southern Region IPM Center. Now to talk about this monitoring program that I run in my area. It's a little different from other IPM programs. Most of the IPM programs are consulting based, and mine is more of a monitoring program. I have 9 trapping sites with 2 sites per county in 3 of the 4 counties, and then 3 trapping sites in the furthest northwest county. I looked at 7 total insects trapped at each site with 1 trap per insect species. So essentially I use 6 different bucket style traps shown in this picture, and then I also used a Farrakhan corn rootworm trap. Trapping occurred weekly from about June 4th to the middle of September. And for time constraint reasons, I'm not going to talk about the corn rootworm data. Basically, what all the graphs that I'm going to show on the y-axis, it's the moth captures per day, and then the week on the x-axis. So in this instance, the number of western bean cutworm moths that we captured per day. We had 1 major flight. And then if we look at southwestern corn borer, we have what is commonly termed the first generation, and then we have a very extended second generation. This is becoming a major problem in our area. If we look at fall armyworm, this year we had a very extended late flight. And beet armyworm, we had basically 3 major flights. And this data can be useful for our cotton growers, because beet armyworm tends to be a problem late in the season for our cotton growers. So even though these traps were placed around cornfields, it can also be useful for our cotton growers. Looking at corn earworm, we had approximately 4 major flights, or just 1 continuous one, with again this late flight that can be a problem for our cotton growers again. Now our European corn borer traps were virtually empty the entire trapping season, so I didn't include that data. One of the things that I do is this data is weekly emailed to a group of people who ask for it, and it's also made available on 2 of the county websites, extension websites, so people can go to those extension websites and see what's going on. So how does this program help? Basically, monitoring for this extended southwestern corn borer flight helps our farmers and our crop consultants time their sprays, and it's been very difficult for them because of this extended flight. It also assists with the timeline for western bean cutworm flights. And usually what our crop consultants do is they'll say we need to target at the tassel date. Well, if you look at the light blue, this Dalem North data, the tassel date was here, which is basically at the end of the flight. So applications that went out at this time actually went out late. They were too late. And if you want to see some more information on this, tomorrow there will be a poster up, and it's display number 418. Looking at the fall armyworm numbers, basically a lot of our crop consultants will check these traps that we have out around the fields that they're looking at. And we had one field, this field right here, that was treated three times for fall armyworm. And this was necessary because it's a white food grade corn. We do grow a lot of white food grade corn in our area for tortilla chips and tortillas. So this starts really cutting into the farmer's profit margin, but having the traps out there, that crop consultant could tell that he needed to spray. So this has been very helpful for our area. Again, we also have the potential to be able to observe normally non-economic species, such as the beet armyworm, early. In corn, they're usually only a problem in 2 to 3 leaf stage corn. Well, if we didn't have these traps out there, it's hard to find them in that small corn. So having the traps out help. Plus, again, having the traps out late help our cotton growers know when the major flights are occurring. So, as I said, the consultants also check these traps and confirm their field observations of moth flights to make their recommendations. And then the producers can also go to the website, or if they are getting the data from email, they can look at that data and make more informed treatment decisions. And if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Yes?
Do you give multiple year trapping of western bean cutworm?
This is the first major trapping year this year, so we're definitely going to continue this.
Because you don't know if it's been increasing or decreasing in the past year.
It's, you know, basically it has been increasing. You know, most of our non-BT fields are treated for western bean cutworm. So.
On your website, do you give the current week's information, but you keep the history?
Yes. Each week, the data is there. We just add to it. The list just gets longer, so they can see if the numbers are going up or down.
Do you have an approximate idea of the penetration of BT corn in the last 5 years with regards to the European cornworm observation?
We've basically been 80-20 in our area since it's been available. So. Those four counties grow approximately 400,000 acres of corn every year. I mean, it's pretty much static. It's about 400,000. So, you know, 20% of that is non-BT. Any other questions? Well, thank you for your time.